Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broadwasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and put on your Sunday clothes, because it takes a woman to truly convey the elegance of today's episode. Thanks for listening before the parade passes by. It only takes a moment to realize we're dancing with ribbons on our back. Again, hello, Dolly, and welcome. Joining us today are the usual galloping waiters, including Kevin, I put my hand in, Jager.
Is this like Hokey Pokey?
I know, I'm just kidding. I know.
Kevin.
What?
Nothing. I'm sorry.
Our game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour, Kimberly.
Yeah, that's me.
Stay safe.
I'm over here.
They can't see anything.
Yes, they can.
They can.
It's on Instagram.
Oh, okay. Okay. And with us today is a guest who is about to enter into her 11th Broadway show.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's our tie with our guest with the most Broadway shows.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You and Arbender.
Oh, yeah, Arbender. We did a show together. Just one?
Hairspray. I would think
Hairspray.
So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, when I was looking at your list, because it was 11, I was like, which one? Where did they cross over?
Because they must have at
some
point.
At some point.
We did Hairspray and a Broadway Bears together.
Oh, nice.
Oh, fine.
So together you've been in every Broadway show.
That's
I think
right,
so.
Exactly.
Pretty much.
So the voice you're hearing has been seen in The Music Man, Oklahoma, Hairspray, Crybaby, Shrek, Promises, Promises, How to Succeed, Nice Work, if you can get it, Gigi, She Loves Me, and the upcoming Hello, Dolly. You couldn't have guessed from earlier. Let's give a big Broadway welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Cameron Adams.
Woo!
Welcome.
Thank you.
Of course. We're so happy to have you.
I'm happy to be here.
You can follow her on Twitter and Facebook at Cameron Adams NYC.
No Facebook, just Instagram
I didn't mean
and Twitter.
That. Yeah, I didn't mean that.
I'm an old lady, I feel like. I don't have Facebook. Instagram and Twitter.
So Twitter and Instagram, Cameron Adams NYC. Again, thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking some red wine.
Yeah.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. I think we're all drinking that same.
We are.
Kimberly,
it's
a fun label.
Can you tell us about the wine we're drinking, Kimberly?
It is called The Show, and it has a rodeo man riding a bull on it.
Uh-huh. So it's Kevin.
Yeah. It is a Malbec.
Which is one of my favorite wines, by the way.
Argentina? Is it Argentinian?
It is from Mendoza, Argentina.
Oh.
That's a good Malbec.
The El Alto Vineyard.
Cool.
Are they all from there?
Not all, but that's what the grape is.
It's one of the good ones.
I mean, there's
there,
probably
right?
one from like Poughkeepsie or something.
Definitely.
Well,
don't drink that.
Because they can also import grapes and stomp them elsewhere, and that can affect the actual taste and flavor. Like a lot of grapes are grown in South Africa, but there aren't a lot of wineries in South Africa, so they'll ship them to different places, and other wineries will actually produce the wine.
Like the wine that you can get at Duane Reade called Chateau Diane.
Probably,
oh, college.
Yeah.
Wine product.
College wine.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like 2% alcohol.
Yeah, yep. I think it's also made in the same factory as Popov.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Classic
so cheers to, cheers to Malbec.
Cheers to Malbec.
Cheers and stuff.
Cheers.
Cool. So let's just start right out of the gate. What have you seen this week?
What have you seen this week?
What have you seen this week?
That was good.
I was sipping while you were saying everything else, and I still wanted to say it.
Oh, I'll go first.
Okay.
I got to see a show at the Here Arts Center. It was called The Dudleys, A Family Game.
Tell me about
it. So I actually got to see it. It was so cool. So the whole premise is it's like a memory play. He's like going through his, remembering his life of his dad passing away from cancer. But he remembers it through a video game. And so the entire, like, set is just projections. And so it's, like, an actual, like, wall of a video game. And it, like, scrolls across. There's, like, multiple levels. Like, the tech was ridiculous. And then sometimes, like, an ensemble member would come forward with a little projection. And they would, like, be a bird that's flying across coming at them and stuff. It was really, really cool. And you got to kind of see how, like, the game rules worked, but also, like, how his memories, like, when things would go wrong in his life would, like, almost break the game.
That's cool.
It was such a cool concept.
That
it was
a really cool concept.
It was done by Loading Dock Theater Company. They do a lot of really cool stuff, like, in the indie scene here in New York. I would definitely recommend seeing what Loading Dock is doing. The Dudleys plays through the 29th of October, so it goes all the way through this weekend if you want to see it. I would definitely recommend it for the technology, for like the cool things they're doing. And it also brings back a lot for if you ever played video games as a kid.
Yeah.
All those like little sounds, and like there's a whole score that actually has some of like the video game sounds in it. So it's just a really fun, like cool time in the theater.
Let's quickly go around the table and say your favorite show you've ever seen technology wise. What's the best technology you saw in a show?
Wait, I gotta think about it.
Oh, it's gotta be the Curious Incident. To me, that was so mind-boggling.
It's very well. The tech aspect of things is very. Most of the tech stuff like comes over from the West End or at least the UK.
Right.
They're very like the National Theatre does a lot of tech-oriented things.
So speaking of the Sunday in the Park revival,
with the
projections instead of the cardboard cutouts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know. I'm seeing that tomorrow night. I'm so excited about it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm going to see my friend Zachary Levi, who is in She Loves Me.
Oh, right, right, right. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I can't wait to see it.
Oh, my gosh.
I've actually never seen a production of Sunday in the Park. So I just know.
It's my favorite.
Yeah.
So
I'm
so
very, very excited.
It's tonight and tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Or yesterday and today, because this is airing. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's, yeah, and it's, I know it's so fast. Those runs are so quick.
Yeah.
I've done two encores before, but he had never done them. And I saw him last week and I said, how's it going? And he goes, it's kind of stressful. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's really stressful.
You know who else is in that show? National Treasure, Carmen Skeets.
Should I curse just so we can hear her in this episode?
I think you should.
I fucking love her.
Yes!
That's a true statement. He does.
We talk about it a lot, but that was a special performance. Did you see Bright Star?
I didn't see it, but I've heard all the music.
I was listening to it.
Yeah, I didn't get to. I'm so disappointed that I didn't get to see that show. Yeah. I wanted to. She's amazing, though.
She's amazing.
Her voice is. I don't understand it. Like, it's remarkable to me.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Kimberly, did you see anything this week?
I, from the comfort of my living room, saw Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, yeah,
not live though.
Not live,
but still.
But I did watch it as it aired, so I could get in on the live tweeting situation.
That's fun.
Which was fun because the whole cast was live tweeting and Snapchatting
while they were watching.
So that was kind of cool.
Because
they weren't in it.
So they were like, that one wasn't live.
Yeah, yeah, so did I.
Okay, I forgot that.
Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tweeting and Instagramming.
No, I didn't.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
One of my good friends was in town. I have a good excuse.
That's okay. No. The great thing is you can just go on Hulu or whatever and watch it again.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm going to watch it.
Which I think is why their ratings weren't as high as they were like, it didn't hit the high of Grease Live. And I was like,
yeah,
of course it didn't. Everyone can watch it tomorrow morning if they want to.
But not even that. It's like watching a NASCAR race. Like, it's already filmed. Nothing's going to go wrong.
Yeah. So now
we've established
this thing now, and so people just want to see it that it's live, just in case, like, yeah, because something could go wrong.
Yeah,
yeah, the stakes are a little higher.
Like,
totally.
You kind of want to see someone fall down. You want to see someone fall down in Hairspray in December.
You might want to. That's ponying is so dangerous.
Ponying is
a wig
so
fall off?
Y'all,
dangerous.
Wig ponying is dangerous.
It's a
y'all.
Real thing. The Southern comes out when the wine is happening. But right.
Because you were in Hairspray. Tell us about any.
He's in Hairspray forever.
Do you have any the dangers of ponying?
I cannot tell you how many times I fell down after I played primarily in the show for the bulk of my run in Hairspray. I did the tour and Broadway and back and forth a couple of times because eventually I left and just became a vacation swing. But when I was there, I played Brenda, which is like the pregnant one.
Mm-hmm.
9 months.
I don't know why.
Originated by
that.
Jen Gamatee, who's in School of Rock right now and fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And so she, a couple of times in the show, gets like morning sickness or like she's going to throw up and she has to run off stage. Well, previous to one of those very specific moments, we do I Can Hear the Bells where all this confetti comes out of these.
Oh, no.
So once in San Francisco and maybe two or three times here in New York, I cut the corner running off stage and fell on my face in front of to the point where you can hear the audience go, ooh.
The 9-month pregnant girl fell on her stomach.
Oh, wow.
And then you're like, oh.
But it's a musical.
So happy.
Well, what's, before we get to your question for you, final thoughts on Rocky?
Oh, it was, I think my main thing is because
before
it
was Before we get
live,
to her, let's hear more about Rocky.
Back to me watching something alone in my living room.
Yeah.
It was a little weird being alone in my living room because Rocky Horror is such a communal audience experience.
Mm-hmm. I was alone in my Vegas hotel room. But we'll talk about Vegas on the next episode.
Oh, I'm so sad.
So like,
oh, I watched an SVU marathon in my Vegas hotel room.
You're so weird.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, but like I had like toast and a newspaper and like rice and stuff ready, and then I was like, I'm not gonna do this by myself. So it was cute that they had the audience doing those things within the show.
Right.
They like would cut to the audience doing the callback lines. The one thing that was pretty silly for this day and age is the anticipation moment.
Right.
When you're supposed to yell "say it" was a little long. And in my mind, I went, oh, because I have time to tweet, say it now. And then I looked, and so had everyone else.
Oh, my gosh.
And
wow.
So it was this, like, weird social media audience watching Rocky Horror. And it was a mix of people like me who knew all of the call-out lines.
Right.
And a mix of, like, these 16-year-olds who were like, why do they keep cutting to the audience doing weird things? And I'm like, oh, because that's the point.
They just don't get it, right?
Well, I feel like every time that they've done, whether it's live or not, they've like try to one-up each other.
Totally.
So, like, we'll go with The Wiz was better than the other ones. But then Grease, like, they incorporated an audience. And then Rocky Horror on Fox decided to incorporate the audience to make it more of, like, a show within the show.
Right.
To, you know, and to so they keep, like, trying to add more
and
elements.
And because it's an interactive show.
Yeah.
Regardless, so you kind of have to show that so that people in
the
living room aren't just throwing toast at their television.
That's so interesting.
Which I did. You did it. Yeah. I didn't have toast. I had rice cakes.
That's great. That works.
So you said you're seeing Sunday.
Yes. I'm so excited.
What else are you seeing?
So this week I have it's so random. I have a full week of theater and I'm so excited because I'm seeing people that I know and love in each one of those shows. So Zach in Sunday in the Park, and then one of my dearest friends from Hairspray, actually we met doing Hairspray, Andrew Rannells, is in Falsetto, so I'm going to his opening night. Mm-hmm. And he's been one of my dear, dear friends for a very, very long time. and then Friday night, I'm going to see The Cherry Orchard, which I can't wait.
You have a roller coaster ride.
I know. It's a whole
lot
of things.
I don't even know what's a roller coaster ride. You're just like going. You're just
And I'm the
going.
Worst because I'm that person when I see someone that I know, even someone I respect, but definitely someone I know in a show. And like Cherry Orchard, I know John Glover and Celia Keenan-Bolger, and you know, and I'm a huge Diane Lane fan, like huge fan. I get so emotional. I'm just that person. Like even a great example, when I went into Hairspray on Broadway, my two best girlfriends, who are still my two best girlfriends, who I had too many cocktails with last night, because one of them lives in LA and was in town for like 24 hours.
That's what we love.
Well, they went into Hairspray on Broadway before I did, and it was both of their Broadway debuts. So I was in rehearsal, so I was watching the show that night from the back of the house, and the curtain went up for the first Good Morning Baltimore with the whole ensemble in a line, and I saw Lindsay up there, and I just was like, like crying, and they're singing Good Morning Baltimore. You know, it's like a happy, it's like a funny moment. That's not like a sad moment in the show or anything. And
no, just, but it's like an amazing moment.
I'm a sap, like 110%.
I mean, realistically,
oh, man.
We may joke about we're all mushes at this table.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. I cry through everything.
The mushiest.
I sat front row for Mothers and Sons. Is that what that show was called?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just... And I was, like, embarrassed.
Yeah.
Because I was, like, none of this is, like, I mean, some of it was sad. But it was mostly just me being, like, you guys are so good.
Everybody's
and you're so close
so
to me. And you're so talented. Yeah. And I'm just going to sit here and cry.
For me, it's, like, even if it's funny. Like, I went to go see Andrew in Book of Mormon when he opened Book of Mormon. And I knew other folks in the show. And my seat happened to be on the aisle. And so I was kind of lit from the stage a bit. And so they made so much fun of me after the show because I was just so proud of my friend up there playing this huge role, originating this huge part.
Uh-huh.
And then all my other friends that were in the other parts. And it's hilarious, that show. And yet I've got like a tear coming down my face. They're like, Cameron, get it together. Pull it together,
Adam. There are
some
beautiful moments in
there. There are.
In the Book of
Believes. He believes.
Salt Lake City is
like,
real touchy.
Cocktail.
Yeah.
But I can see that, like, as, like, that being one of your closest friends, just being like, look at you,
you get so proud of people.
Yeah.
I get proud of people.
I get it. Do we want to talk about the Hamilton documentary? We'll save that for next week.
Do you know, I still haven't watched it. It's on my DVR.
Oh, we'll save it.
You know what I started that night? I'm just going to go ahead and Black Mirror Season 3. It's Halloween time, and so for me, like, one of my favorite things is, like, horror films, scary movies.
Yeah. What's your favorite scary movie?
One of my top favorites is The Exorcist because... I mean, it's a classic.
Like the original.
Yeah, the original. Because my dad, I loved scary stuff. My dad showed it to me when I was like 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I was like totally tough enough to watch it. It gave me nightmares for like 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
And then I love this movie called The Strangers with Scott Speedman and Liv Tyler.
Yeah, I know The Strangers.
Freaking terrifying.
Yeah. I love Scott Speedman.
Absolutely.
Well, let's be honest. Felicity, sorry about it.
Sorry about it.
Underworld.
And Underworld.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah. That's a good call.
And I like Liv Tyler too. But that movie is, to me, anything with like home invasion, legitimately terrifying.
Did you see Your Next?
Yes, I just saw it.
It was on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. Yeah. I just watched it on Netflix.
So fun.
Also, another good one on Netflix right now called Hush, and she's a deaf.
I love it.
She's deaf and mute. So you're like, well, geez, Louise, let's just set her up for like disaster.
Right.
And then John Gallagher Jr. is this terrifying guy. It was like,
oh really? No.
Yeah, it's him. He's scary.
Everyone listening, make your lists.
Scary movie list.
Awesome. I love scary movies. My sister and I used to go to the movies just to get scared and go to scary movies together. Mm-hmm. But we would go in the early morning to see scary movies.
My gosh.
So we were the only ones in the theater.
That's
so it was just
terrifying.
The two of us.
That's really scary.
We saw like Wolf Creek that way.
Oh, yeah.
A couple others, but so
that's
good.
That's actually really scary.
I saw Love Actually in the theater.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. I saw High School Musical 3 by myself. I thought it'd be less embarrassing to go to a matinee, but then they were full of children, and I was like the guy by himself.
Yeah,
with all these kids and their parents.
And you're very tall.
He's very tall.
I'm a huge man. And if you don't know, I'm a big gay Broadway man. Like, you can be a little intimidated if I walk into High School Musical 3. I'm like, hi, everybody.
He only wears trench coats.
This is my favorite. I do. Only trench coats all the time.
Or tank tops.
Trench coats and tank tops. That's my life.
No,
living my best life.
That's the name of your memoir.
It is.
Yeah.
Trench coats and tank tops.
Improv team?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So let's transition into what's the show that you saw as a kid or you did as a kid that was like, oh, I'm going to do this forever?
Oh, gosh. So easy. Okay. So my first trip to New York was for my 13th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I came with a girl named Sarah Beth Bartlett. And
hey, Sarah.
Yeah,
hi, Sarah.
She lives in Pennsylvania. She has two really cute kids.
Plenty of Pennsylvania.
We grew up in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and our birthdays were about a month apart. So they planned this trip, and we came to New York, and the first Broadway show I ever saw was Crazy for You at the Shoeburn Theater. And we sat on the
not
front
Annie.
Row of the mezzanine.
Not Annie.
Not
did you
Annie.
Like put your
hashtag
hands
not
your
Annie.
Hashtag not Annie. So
Molly, are you okay?
Sorry. We were on the front row of the mezzanine. I had my like face on the mezzanine, and
you had
actually
great seats for Crazy for You.
I know. My mom was like, "Let's do this."
Yeah.
And it was Karen Ziemba was playing the lead, and I remember thinking, no, I want to be her. Like, that's, and still to this day, she is like one of my, idols. She just is like, for me, the epitome of like the true song and dance woman, mm-hmm. the true triple threat, which, you know, sometimes we lose sight of, I think. And I love that. I love that. And that's what I love to do the most is like the song and dance type stuff. And so I look up to her so much. And so that immediately started it for me. And then later, cut to a million years later, I ended up working with a man who was in that production.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. And for my birthday, this was a very long time ago, but for my birthday, he gave me he does these beautiful watercolors, and he gave me a gorgeous watercolor of the Schubert Theater with the Crazy for You marquee framed. I have it.
So amazing.
And then getting ready to do Hello Dolly at the Schubert Theater.
Oh, that's right.
So I'm having a little full circle kind of like, because I've never worked there. I'm just very excited about that.
So that was both your first Broadway show and that.
Yeah. That's it was awesome. Just like, Michael Duran is that guy's name. He runs a great dinner theater in Boulder called Boulder's Dinner Theater, BDT.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
It's very good.
If you're in Colorado, go there.
Go there. It's really good.
Yeah. What is your favorite musical?
Oh, gosh.
Like, you're going to be sent away like Napoleon on a desert island, and you can see one production perfectly of your favorite show.
Napoleon? I liked that. That was a good reference. Hold on, Brian.
Gosh, that is so hard. Mm-hmm. That's really hard.
Did you say Napoleon Dynamite?
No.
Napoleon Bonaparte.
Yeah, well, he got
sent away.
He was exiled.
So for me to watch over and over and over again.
No, well, so you're going to this desert island
with
no access to musical theater.
Okay.
But your like last request is, I want to see this musical.
Okay.
You don't pick the cast or anything, but like it's going to be a perfect version of that musical.
A perfect version. Well, one of my all-time favorites is Thoroughly Modern Millie. I love that show so much. But I do think I would maybe pick... Oh, gosh. I don't know. That's really hard.
Quick, to send you on the boat.
Maybe, like... I mean, honestly, I hate to be, like, a cliche, but Hamilton is one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life.
You can say that.
So yeah. I might say that.
Yeah, you can say that. We've all seen it.
We've all seen it at the table. Like, really? We have it.
Only Kevin hasn't seen it.
Only Kevin hasn't seen it.
Yeah. Kevin. Kevin.
Come on. You haven't
done
it in a while.
This is the part of the show we haven't done this in
tank
a while.
Tank tops and trench coats.
That's true.
Kylan, it's Kevin. Tank tops and trench coats, you know.
Hashtag.
I will give you a tank top and a trench coat if you will give me a ticket to Hamilton in any of the cities it is playing.
Let's
I would even
do this.
Fly to Chicago, chill with my bro, and see it in Chicago. But I am all about that Hamel life. So
man,
please.
So good.
He's going to be in it in 2018 in London.
Yeah.
Kevin's brother?
Brian, killing it.
Kevin for the king, obviously.
Yeah. All about it. All about it.
Thank you, Kevin.
So yeah, thank you. And thank you, Lynn.
Great. That's a great answer.
I mean, kind of. It's a great answer. It's so good, though. But I'm going to keep thinking if I think it's a good
answer. Sure. You can pop in whenever you want.
Just yell it out.
What... So you first Broadway show with The Music Man.
It was.
Can you tell us that process?
Yeah, I mean...
Or how you got it? And...
Right. It was a sort of unique experience, I guess, because I didn't... I was fairly young, and I didn't... I grew up in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, like I said, and I didn't... You know, I wasn't, like, trying to be a child actor or anything. And not that I was a child. I was 17. But I did a lot of... dance competitions and not like Dance Moms, you guys.
Because you know all of our
Although
minds went there.
I do know friends that went to that dance studio, and it's just different now than when I was younger, obviously. But it was also a lot of I went to this amazing, a wonderful guy named Joe Lantieri who teaches at Steps. He teaches at Juilliard. Mm-hmm. He does amazing scholarships for kids to go to college and have amazing educations with dance or musical theater. It's really kind of an amazing company called New York City Dance Alliance. And he and a woman named Leah Brandon run that. And they, I grew up doing this. My dance teacher used to do shows with him at like Opryland, you know, like that's they knew each other from like the back in the day. And, so when I was a kid, we would go take classes from these teachers or whatever. And there was a lot of scholarship opportunities to come take class in New York. Mm-hmm. And I got some of those. And then, Jay Binder Casting called Joe and said, look, we know you work with all these talented kids from all over the country. We have to find a lot of kids of a big range of age, you know, for this revival of The Music Man. So if you have any kids, even if they're older and look younger, which was my situation, I was 17, mm-hmm. but I was like a real late bloomer. So I did not look 17. I looked about 14, 13. And, which worked out for me in this situation. And so
like
I got
like Kevin.
Yeah,
like Kevin.
Exactly
like Kevin. Me. Totally. And, so I got recommended to audition and I almost didn't go because it was like homecoming week or something ridiculous. And I was student body vice president. And you know when you're I wasn't student body vice president. Which meant absolutely nothing at all, except that you went to meetings. And so, you know, I was like,
it taught you well for the future.
That's right.
Meetings that have mean nothing.
Exactly. I was like, oh, this is just life. And I said to my mom, I was like, well, I'm not going to get it. So what's the point? You know, and my mom said, let's go. We'll go see some shows and shop and go to New York and make it a fun weekend. And you'll go to
So the
college.
Shopping is why you're on Broadway.
Yeah.
Probably. Now we understand.
I was like, Strawberry? We can go to Strawberry. No, I'm kidding. That's like such a local New York.
I know.
Worst store ever, ladies.
I was like, you're right. That is
if
only
you
here.
Don't live in New York. You don't need to go to Strawberry. Anyway.
No.
So I don't go for Strawberry.
Don't.
So we ended up coming up, you know, and had a fun weekend, and then I got a call back. And that's when I think my parents also sort of went, oh. You know, I didn't have a headshot. I didn't have mm-hmm. – I wasn't – you know, and so we sort of made it work, and then I ended up getting the job. And because I was 17, I had – like, was so close to being 18. I was so close to being done with school, and this mm-hmm. is what I wanted to go to school and study. Mm-hmm. My mom and dad just went, all right, we'll make it work, but, you know, you're paying for it. So we moved up here, my mom and I. My dad sort of went back and forth. My brother was in college. And my mom stayed with me for 10 months until I moved 18 and or turned 18 and graduated high school. And my mom was like, this is how we write our rent check.
Yeah, yeah.
With your money. it was very educational. And because the show ended up being a big success, it ran for 2 years. By the time it was done, I was 19 and sort of lived with a girlfriend of mine in a tiny apartment, you know, with like trundle beds, like did the whole New York thing. And it was like an awesome first, the best first experience ever.
That's such a good story.
Man, like the best first experience ever.
Yeah.
And a weird, I mean, this is what I wanted to do no matter what, or try to do.
Yeah.
But just to have that sort of odd entry into it.
Absolutely.
Kind of
someone being like, oh, here you go.
Well, most
kind of. Come on in.
Yeah. And it's like, especially now at this age and this time in my life and experience, you look back and you go, wow, I'm like so lucky to have.
I feel like, you know, we see a ton, we hear a ton of stories and people's like first Broadway shows or the way they get it are just like, but kids now, and this includes, I don't know, kids nowadays, let me tell you about the youth in America. I feel like they know that they're going to go into an audition and like, that's how they're trained. Cause there's so many schools that train them that way.
Right.
However, every single Broadway debut story I've ever heard is through networking, pure charisma, or something like an opportunity that was kind of like half-handed to you, and then you took advantage.
Well, and then you're just right for it. So like, it's also one of those things where I look at it now and I go, well, I was right for that show. I have freckles. I look like I'm like Midwestern. Like it's like perfect, you know.
Yeah.
So
you had that shapoopy look.
I did. I gave you a sensible shapoopy. No, but it's like it's like
another show pony.
Totally. That's right. I just pony for days. And if it ain't broke.
Pony to pay the bills, baby.
Yeah, right. When in doubt, pony out. That's actually the rule at Hairspray. If you like forget what you're doing, just pony. You're going to be
when in doubt, pony out?
Yeah, sure.
I love that.
But yeah, it's like, you know, it was the right situation, but it is that, you know, and that man still, Joe Lantieri. I mean, if I'm unemployed or between shows or whatever, I judge dance competitions for him.
That's cool.
I teach for that company sometimes. Yeah. It's amazing. So yeah, really amazing.
Should we play some games?
Yeah.
Let's play some games.
Let's do it. Have some games.
You have some games?
Wait, really Brian, do you have a game first, though?
I do have a game.
Oh.
And it bubbles off of what you were saying before. I entered the falsettos lottery with Drew Jamson.
Amazing.
And I had issues with my lottery. I didn't get the email correct. Anyway, a lot of things happened, and I missed the deadline to be able to do it. And I wrote to Drew Jamson, and they're amazing. And they're amazing, and they because I had a whole issue with my tickets, and obviously they saw how kind of I was gonna get them, and I want and whatever. Long story short, they were super awesome, and now I have two tickets to see falsettos.
Amazing.
But
I have two friends that want to go.
We might have to play a game I like to call True or Falsettos.
You to put a pun in a game.
Oh,
so good.
God, I love it.
So I have created a game called True or Falsettos.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is based on the lifetimes and work of William Finn.
Okay.
Oh, God.
It is going to be Kimberly versus Kevin.
Yep.
And Cam is going to be our judge.
Oh, great. I like this option. Okay.
Better I'll be about a new brain. I don't know.
So.
Oh, God.
So, I'm going to read the statement. And then you're going to say truth or falsettos.
At the same time?
Is it whoever says it first?
It's whoever says it first.
Okay.
So, Cam, you have to decide who says it first.
Oh.
And just so you know, I really want to go.
I just want to cuss once. Shut up! <That's great. laughs> I just wanted to say it once.
Okay. And saying falsettos just means false. There's no, like, this was from falsettos.
Okay. Got it.
Perfect. So I just added the edos.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Are we ready?
Yep.
Here we go.
Okay.
We're ready.
One. Oh, can you keep score on your hands?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
I call left.
Kevin.
I'm sorry.
One. William Finn has never won a Tony.
True.
True.
It is false.
Falsettos.
Oh.
He won for falsettos.
Ah.
So that's zero. Nobody gets anything.
Correct.
Right.
Deal with it.
I shot for that.
Two. He won for falsettos. I think they won score and book. They did not win Best Musical.
Okay.
Two, falsettos is actually the last of 2/3 of a William Finn trilogy of musicals.
True.
That is correct. Ha. In Trousers, March of the Falsettos, and Falsetto Land, it is the combination of March of the Falsettos and Falsetto Land. No, that's me explaining.
I was like,
that
was yes, not a question. True. So, what? Yeah.
Huh? Confused.
Three, in 1992, falsettos lost Best Musical Tony to Sunset Boulevard.
1993.
False.
1992.
Zetos.
1992. True.
It is false. It lost to Crazy for You. Sunset Boulevard was 1995.
And see, I would have put Crazy for You at 95.
Mm. Yeah, I actually...
my timeline's so wrong.
I didn't mean to date everything just now.
Right, oh,
yeah.
When in the run, she saw it.
Well, we don't know when in the run I saw it, because I didn't
That's
for
true.
Right,
you're right, you're right.
A long time.
You saw that last performance. Four. William Finn's work is extremely autobiographical, except for New Brain, which is about his partner, Arthur Salvatore.
Falsettos.
True.
Falsettos. It was him.
About him. Oh.
He had an arterial venous malformation, and that's what that was about. Five. William Finn's birth name is actually William Allen Feinberg.
True.
Falsettos.
Falsettos. It's real.
Tied up, people.
His name is real. Six. His three major review pieces are Infinite Joy, Elegies, A Song Cycle, and Make Me a Song.
True.
Falsettos.
True.
Wow, these are hard.
I'm going to win.
You guys are so knowledgeable.
Don't get excited yet.
That's true.
Seven.
The tides keep
Well,
turning.
I usually make the game.
His most recent musical to get a major production is Little Miss Sunshine.
True.
Falsettos.
Falsettos. It's falsettos.
Hey!
Oh, that was a trick question.
I thought you meant newest. Falsettos
I said his
is
most recent musical to get a major production is Little Miss Sunshine.
Okay, you're right.
It was the wording. It was the wording. It was true.
I actually wrote it the way you said it. And I was like, no, I'm gonna
So that I have the point, right?
So there's a tie.
We're tied.
And I came up with a tiebreaker.
Yes!
Thank God.
Because you learned from the best.
Let's hear it.
I want... and Cam gets to choose the winner.
Okay.
Each one of you needs to choose a song with a lyric that has the word true or false in it.
This is hard. What?
Or the first one to think of one, I mean.
With the word true or false.
True or false in it. Separately. It doesn't have to be true or false.
It doesn't have to be a song called True or False?
Correct.
From the musical Brian Wrote a Game?
No, it does not. It only has to have one word in it.
The award-winning musical.
Truly scrumptious.
Does that count?
You too.
No, I want the...
Oh, you want true.
I want true.
Okay.
Shoot. Is it true? I don't know.
Dang, I like that song, though. That's
no,
a good song.
Oh, Sarah Bareilles. The one true love. No, that's not right. One sweet love. God damn it.
Does that have to be for a musical?
I would prefer that.
Okay. Not that I have something like on the back burner from Dashboard Confessional. First band I thought of.
Hold on. I can do this. True. Okay. I just was about to sing that awful Ashley Simpson's boyfriend song. This is true.
Everybody? Well, now I'm just going to try and think
Ryan
of false.
Cabrera.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I love Ryan
Cabrera. Gosh, this is hard.
Yeah, I didn't think this was going to be as hard as it turned out to be.
Did you have examples?
Yeah, I do. I have example.
I just assume it would rhyme with you, so I keep going,
I know. That's how I found it.
You are so true.
So I'll think of a new typewriter right now.
Okay.
On three, the first person to sing the following wins. A song for Pulseros.
Holding to the ground so I keep from shifting.
She won.
Accurate. Nailed it.
She won?
It's true.
Do you, Cam, as final judge,
right?
Do you think that Kimberly won?
Absolutely.
There you have it.
That is from falsetto.
You're the
and I
champion.
Are going to falsettos together.
It's okay. Sorry, Kev. It's all right.
So glad I did that. Oh, acting for musical theater.
I'll go and stand outside the theater and ask you how it is.
A new prize is, although it's kind of a weak prize because you have to go with me.
Well, could the consolation prize
I hang out
be
with you
the
too
other
much.
Ticket? Kimberly and I are going.
What day is it? I have plans.
I'm
just kidding.
The song I was thinking of is So Sue Me.
Oh,
you're right.
Yeah, but there are a couple more.
Okay.
So true, so new, so Sue Me.
I'm going to think of so many and like wake up in the middle of the night and just scream them out. It's going to be amazing.
I'm very
so
excited
for
that.
That was the game. But now back to our regularly scheduled game master.
Hi, guys.
This is really... Coming up with a game is really hard.
Yeah, well, I
hard.
Have seven. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm so... games, it makes me nervous a little bit.
This segment of games is called At Broad Wasted because I watched 4 episodes of At Midnight yesterday.
Great.
And so, have you all watched At Midnight?
Yeah.
So you are the three contestants on this.
Wait, At Midnight? What's At Midnight?
With Chris Hardwick. It's on Comedy Central.
I don't know it.
Basically, you are going to be three. Picture yourselves behind like Jeopardy podiums.
Okay.
And I'm going to come up with a small little game, and you just there's no real buzzer, so just whoever comes up with funny things to say first, and then I'll give you points if they're funny, and I'll laugh at you if they're not.
Great.
And then I'll just go through rapid fire a few different games, and then I have a show card game.
I love it.
Fun?
Great.
Yep. Sold. So, Broadway-bound Bandstand made a splash this week when announcing it would drop the from the title to be simply Bandstand. Please simplify other cumbersome titles. Examples might be Charlie, Curious, or Humans. Mm.
Sunday Park Guy.
Dolls.
Points to Brian.
Yeah, Brian won, clearly.
Oh, no, Tank Tops going.
If you have more,
yeah,
going.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And she's older now.
That's the longer you put the subtitle.
It's sort of like when people are in. It's sort of like when people are in companies of shows and they don't want to say the whole title.
Right.
Yeah. It's like exactly so that.
It's like if when I was in How to Succeed, you know, you do the little shortened when you write it out. What if people actually said H2$? Like, that would be so stupid if they were like, I'm in H2$. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I think that would be appropriate now, but not then.
No, totally.
It's true. Yeah.
It's true, actually.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's so true.
I'm going to see School.
I'm going to see School. Okay. But even that, like people say S-O-R.
That's true.
It's true.
Like, so interesting how we just shorten
everything. Yeah. No one can be bothered.
I'm going to see Story.
How about this one? I'm going to go see Spring.
Yeah. Or Kevin's going to go see Boots.
Boots.
Oh my God, that actually made
I chose the more boring name.
Boots. Ham.
Boots.
Ham. All right. In the musical Waitress, with the lyrics butter, sugar, flour are the main ingredients in any good pie crust. Please sing a little ditty about the main ingredients in a food you like to cook. An example, salt, pepper, eggs is how I make my scrambled eggs.
Oh gosh, that's good.
queso, sour cream. That's all I get when I go to Moe's to get nachos, and they're like, you just want queso and sour cream? Do you want, like, tomatoes? Or I'm like, nope.
No.
Queso, sour cream.
Tequila, rocks, two limes.
That is Brian's breakfast.
I was going to say vodka soda limes.
Oh, that's
a good one.
That's my breakfast. That's also my breakfast.
Yes. Welcome to Broadwasted, where ingredients meant drinks. Okay.
Bacon, cheddar,
biscuits.
Oh, my God. The bodega? Yes.
A million points to Kevin.
Biscuit.
Great. 13 Going on 30 is going to Broadway.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
Name things that your 13-year-old self would like to do as your 30-year-old self.
Jeez, oh,
be openly gay?
Wow.
That's a great one.
I'm sorry, maybe we need to do that.
Yeah, clearly.
Wow.
Good for you.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, great. We're done.
We're done here.
Adam Pascal will take over as Will Shakespeare in Something Rotten beginning November 8th. So I have a game to combine his previous hit, Rent, with some Shakespeare.
Yes!
So I'd like everyone, whoever wants to first, take one slip of paper from each pile. Cameron, would you like to go first?
Yes, Cameron, go first.
Sure. One from each. You'll find the title of a song from Rent and the title of a Shakespearean play.
Oh, Jesus.
Please tell me the plot of that play through the song that you chose.
Kimberly, you're so good.
Oh, my God.
I'll go. Yeah.
Brian, go first.
I'll go first. Here we go.
We killed the bottle. Go.
Do you have my handkerchief? Choked you out cause of lying.
Cheese.
There you go. What was that, everyone?
That was Othello to the tune of Light My Candle.
It was.
Is that what we're supposed to do?
Is it bad? Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Kevin's going to go.
I'll go. To be or not to be, I don't know. Okay.
No, we were like, that's it, Kevin?
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, it's Hamlet with...
Is Hamlet to Out Tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Okay. I'm gonna get that girl. She's on the other side. How am I gonna get that girl?
Romeo and Juliet.
That was way better than ours.
That was way better than ours.
That's Rent with RJ.
That was Rent with Romeo and Juliet.
You should have said something about dying or killing each other or something.
Yeah. That's everyone dies in all these shows.
That's true.
Including Rent, sort of.
So Cameron's prize is the souvenir program to Fun Home.
Oh, I love this.
Oh, that's cool.
I do love this show so
much. But the prize for funny other things, Kevin, you get a fun something rotten.
Yes!
Oh, yay. Well, Adam Pascal.
I love that. Thank you.
Okay. And now Kevin helped me with this next game.
Oh, yes.
I have a pack of show cards.
Ooh.
That I'm going to give to Cameron.
Blights of Broadway.
Blights of Broadway.
I also have a story that Kevin wrote.
I do have a card.
Yeah. Kevin wrote this story, and we've put blanks in it. So Mad Libs style, if you could insert the people from your card into this story.
Like in order, right? Whatever one comes up.
That would be ideal. And then the last person is, it says a Broadwaisted member, so one of us.
Of your choosing. I love that idea.
So while you're opening those cards, can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
My question is...
This first card is so good.
So you're starting Hello Dolly next year.
Yes.
What's it like to be kind of part of the first show where the replacement for one of those nights is... Like,
I know.
Just a legend. Madonna Murphy.
A legend. I know. It's kind of unreal, right? Like, that's an unbelievable thing that she's doing at this point, one show a week after the Tonys. So it's huge. Donna Murphy is, like, a legend in her own right. So it's, like, it's unreal. I mean, those two women, it's pretty, either one you get, it's going to be kind of remarkable.
Yeah, seriously, though.
Like, some people are going to go twice. Easily.
I honestly, I'm not going to lie to you, I think you should. Like, those two, it's... I can't
wait. Because they're also very different.
Yeah, it's going to change
totally
the
different.
Show.
Yeah.
Totally different. Well, they're different points in their life. They're different, you know, they're different types of women. It's going to be types of performers. Like, I can't wait. I honestly cannot wait to see them.
And also, what's it like to be a part of the, like, fastest selling Broadway show ever?
Well, I don't, I mean, this is like that. I've never experienced this before. I've done a handful of new musicals, but not as many as revivals. I've done a lot of revivals.
Right.
And so it's generally not, and with famous people, you know, How to Succeed with Daniel Radcliffe and Promises, Promises with Sean Hayes and Kristen Chenoweth, you know, whatever, big people. But, this was absurd, obviously. It's like, but I also think we're just in a different time. I think Broadway is just a different time. Also with Hamilton, with social media, with podcasts, with it's just different, you know? So now we're entering into a new time where this is kind of the thing that's going to happen. People go, oh my God, I got to get tickets. Cause also Bette Midler is an icon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's people who are famous and there's people who are really good at what they do and whatever, but like she's an icon. It's just,
and
different.
When's the last time, like she wasn't just doing a concert. She's like, she's putting on a role again.
Right.
She's doing a show.
It's different. Yeah. It's different than just what she...
She's going back to her roots almost.
Really, which is, I mean, it's also sort of a perfect part for her. So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
She's perfect.
It's like they were waiting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The first one, I think, if you have the title of a show besides People.
Oh. Well. Okay.
But I don't know that not everyone does.
Is it all People?
If it's all People, that's fine.
It's all People.
That's fine.
Is that all right?
Then it's to say it's someone's autobiography.
Okay.
Okay, go.
Dear Diary, this summer at Camp Broadwaisted has absolutely changed my life. They just announced the cast for the three productions this summer, and I'm excited about the chance to star in Titus Burgess, Pinot Noir. Opposite my longtime camp companion... Roger Bart. Gosh, that guy. At the end of the summer. But really, Diary, this summer is all about the love. I've only been at Camp Broadwaisted for 3 weeks, and already I've fallen in love multiple times. Theater. The first time was after the welcome bonfire when I shared s'mores and a glass of milk, like the same glass of milk, with the beautiful Santino Fontana.
Ooh.
Not bad.
Showmance.
We never kissed, but we held hands during the fireworks, and I knew that we really had something special. But of course, I couldn't be tied down for the summer, so I had to move on. This next card is so good. A week later, when I locked eyes with Andre DeShields, during the Sondheim sing-along, I almost lost my place in Have Little Priest. Then I nearly lost my mind when we kissed later that night. When we snuck out of our bunks to walk down by the lake, we were almost caught. When the kiss made me spontaneously shout, Sweet Michael Park! Did that just happen? Plus, there's something my never-ending crush on Kimberly. But everyone's in love with them, too. I mean, how will this summer end? Where will my heart lie? I don't know, but I'll find out here at Camp Broadwaisted.
I'd just like to say, our camp is extremely diverse.
It's very so diverse, you guys. All
age,
the things.
Age.
Famous people.
Famous people. Yeah. Oh, my God. It's so good.
It's like that adult summer camp
Sweet
in the Catskills.
Sweet Michael Park.
I love it.
I would say that all the time.
Sweet Michael Park.
Hashtag Sweet Michael Park.
That was really funny.
Oh, that was awesome. So good. Yeah. Thanks, Kevin, so for penning that,
that
tale.
Oh, yeah, Kevin penned that tale?
I did.
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
That's awesome.
I came up with the idea,
what
but
What if
not
I had a camp Broadwasted?
If it was like the adult version of like...
Sleepaway Camp?
Stage Door Manor. It's like the adult Stage Door Manor. You so, put on a show. Yeah. Just drunk. Oh, yes.
Do we want to go around the table and do some Broadway regrets?
I had one that I thought of on the subway today.
Oh, yeah. So what Broadway regrets is when we... say a show that we wish, a production of a show that we wish we had seen. Mm-hmm. Not like something from like the 1950s where like we couldn't have seen it.
Right. Like something we could have seen.
And we didn't.
And just didn't see
Great.
It.
Great. Oh, that's tough. I want to go last.
Sure.
Well, mine is different because I was listening to Bright Star on my subway ride and I decided that I regretted seeing it so late in the run so that I couldn't see it again. Oh, because I think there are things like as I'm listening to it that I'm like, oh, I wish I paid more attention to that moment. And now that it's gone, I'm just like, well, now I can't like go back and see what else happened in that moment and what could have been different because I was, you know, just sobbing the whole time instead.
Yeah, of course. as we mushes do.
That's why you wear scarves to the theater. I learned this in high school. Aww. You wear a scarf because then you have a built-in tissue.
True.
True. Kevin.
Smart. Yep. I would have to say that mine would probably be, I didn't go and see the last 5 years when Betsy Wolf and Adam Canton were doing it.
Mistake.
I really think that I should have, and I have been watching the movie a lot lately. Friend of the show, Jeremy Jordan, is fantastic
friend
in that
of the
movie.
Show, Jeremy Jordan.
But I've been watching the movie a lot, and whenever Betsy Wolf comes on when she's playing the stripper, I'm like, oh, I should have seen her like slay it. And she takes like options up so much, and
she's amazing.
I just, I love Adam Kantor. Like,
he's fantastic.
He's wonderful as well. And I just really wish I'd seen that.
Yeah. I'm actually going to go with the How to Succeed that you were in.
Yeah,
Was that with the Broderick?
What'd you say?
Was that with Matthew Broderick?
No, Daniel Radcliffe.
I saw
the Broderick one, but I didn't see that one. And I say that...
Not to date you like that, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. I'd have been very young.
The production in which he had a child at the end.
Yeah, more.
Like Baby Rosemary.
I really love that show. And I'm just... I always want to see it whenever I can.
Yeah, I love that show,
I heard
too.
It was a really good one.
Thanks.
So...
It was great. Yeah.
It was great.
I saw it.
I have to say I'm biased, obviously, but I think it's... was such a great production.
Yeah.
And I also think that I agree with you. That is one of those shows I feel like there's a reason everyone does it because it's so well written.
Yeah.
It
is
so well written. The music is so good.
And it's such a...
Yeah. You forget that it's like... It's so funny.
It won the Pulitzer.
It's
like,
ridiculous.
Such an empathetic, relatable character.
Totally.
And also, you know, I think it also does a good job of pinpointing history.
Yeah.
Agreed.
For good, for better or worse.
Yeah.
And I think that that production, which I didn't see, obviously, because it's my brother regret, probably did a really good job of emphasizing the bad things in a mockingly type of manner.
Yes, they did.
So,
I agree. They did do that.
Totally.
A very good job of that. No, I love that show. One of mine, this is sort of a random one, but mine, I think, is Scottsboro Boys.
Oh, that is not the first time someone said it.
I'm a huge fan of multiple people involved or in that show, but... I just wish I had seen that show. I think it would have been so beautiful, and I heard it was so special, and I'm really, really, really sad I missed it.
I think that's all the time we have for today.
Oh, my gosh. It was so fun.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
I had a really good time.
Yes.
So every episode, we end with a quote.
Okay.
A meaningful quote sometimes it's not meaningful at all.
I love this
idea.
It's
mostly not meaningful. But before we close, we had a Twitter contest last week.
We did.
Oh, yeah.
With Molly, Are You Okay? From Annie.
Yeah. Hashtag Molly, Are You Okay?
We asked people to hashtag Molly, Are You Okay? And tell us what they think happened to Molly after Annie happened. And I got some really funny responses, but I picked two that are my favorite. And the first comes to us from at Grateful Broadway Fan. Stephanie said, Broadway said, maybe she went by Molly for short for Margaret till she grew up, then changed her name to Maggie and was in a chorus line, which would be why Maggie fantasizes about dancing with her father and at the ballet.
Oh.
Which I was like, oh, that's an act. And she wrote hashtag actual theory. But I have to say my all-time favorite.
Sweet. Write the fan fiction, yeah. Stephanie.
My favorite came from Schwartz and Grubinier, which is at Loghain, L-O-G-A-I-N-N-E.
Right.
And they wrote, Broadwasted, hashtag Molly, Are You Okay? She invested in Rebecca, but when that failed, she started a YouTube channel for the elderly. So that would be my favorite hashtag Molly, Are You
that
Okay?
That is hilarious. Thanks Those are
everyone.
Both really good.
Thanks to everybody who tweeted us.
Yeah. You remember, you can follow us on at Broadwasted on Twitter, Instagram, or you can follow us on Facebook at Broadwasted.
Woo!
So let's we end every with a quote.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
And this week's quote is, who's got the pain when they do the mambo?
Yes!
Who's got the pain when they go, ugh? Who's got the pain when they do the mambo? I don't know. Who do you?
Isn't it, I don't know who do you?
Yeah.
I like the little emphasis you gave there.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You mixed it up a little
who
bit.
Do you?
Embosses.
Who do you?
There is nothing better than a random Fosse number to open act two of a show.
Why not?
Agreed.
That's Dumb Damn Yankees.
That musical is actually really
good. Oh, Damn Yankees is like, I want to do that show. So
I've never seen when they do the mambo. Who gets the pain when they go,
it's so good.
And then the other one is in Pajama Game.
Oh, yeah, Pajama Game.
Oh, I was thinking Steam Heat last night.
Which is like my dream.
Oh, yeah.
As a dancer, it's one of my dream. Well,
written by the same people. Fosse did both.
I was singing it last night because my heater's finally turned on. My radiator's in my apartment. And there's literally, it was the loudest. Like, it sounded like someone was stirring a huge iced tea pitcher.
Or
just like
terrifying. It's legitimately terrifying.
Metaphor.
Like, oh. Or if you're watching Walking Dead and it happens and you're like, what the?
But as we end every episode,
Zoo-doo-wop-bop. Thanks for listening.
Thanks
guys.
So much for coming on, Cam.
Thank you. Yay. Thanks for having me.
Of course. We'll listen to you next week. Oh. No, you'll listen to us next week.
They'll listen to us.
Tomorrow.
Bye.
Oh, God.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.